Congregation, it was in the summer of 1727 that Jonathan Edwards, he was just married to his sweetheart Sarah Pierpont in New Haven, Connecticut. Edwards was just ordained in the Church of Northampton as co-pastor, assisting his grandfather, Solomon Stoddart, 84 years old. And that summer of 1727, Edwards was 24 years old. He ended his sermon, one of his first sermons in Northampton, a sermon on this, the same psalm that we have read this night, Psalm 139. He ended his sermon with these words: "If it be so that God is present everywhere, let us be exhorted to walk with God. Let us endeavor to know, to get acquainted with that being that we have our being in. Let us seek after a spiritual union with God, reconciliation to Him, and His friendship and favor. And let us always behave ourselves as in the sight of God, so that after we have walked with God here, God may take us to dwell with Him forever in His glorious presence." For Jonathan Edwards, the everywhere presence of God, the divine omnipresence, was a deep reality in his life. A reality he lived with and he lived for. This reality, God the Lord is everywhere present, is an unescapable fact, unavoidable. Congregation, it is a warning on the one hand for those who want to avoid God in their lives. But it is also an unspeakable comfort and joy for those who cannot be without Him. And by grace have taken refuge in Him, in Christ, who has loved them first with an everlasting and ever-present love. If it be so that the Lord is present everywhere. May I ask you, do you believe that reality in your life? Do you live a life? Yes, or also your daily life, and go throughout your life with this reality: God is everywhere present in my life. Theologians speak of the divine omnipresence, one of the incommunicable attributes of God, one of the qualities of God, qualities possessed by God alone. The communicable attributes are possessed by God and us, such as knowledge and love and wisdom and mercy, but the incommunicable attributes belong to the Lord and Him only. His omniscience, the all-knowing God. His omnipotence, the all-powerful God. But also His omnipresence, God who is everywhere present. And congregation, in fact, these three incommunicable attributes are mentioned in this psalm that we have read together this night, Psalm 139. Verse 1 to 6 speaks of God omnipotent, and the verses 13 to 18 of God's omnipotence. But in the center of this psalm, in the center of these verses, and in particular, I think that is the thrust of this psalm, The verses 7 to 12 speak of God's everywhere presence. We are surrounded by the Lord's presence. And therefore I want to meditate with you this evening with the help of the Lord on the Lord's presence. The Lord's presence in your life. Not only a doctrine that we confess, but a teaching to live by, a deep sense, a deep realization. And as Edwards once preached, that we are exhorted to walk with God, to keep close to Him, and not depart from Him. And therefore, three main thoughts concerning the everywhere presence of God, as we see in Psalm 139. That God's presence is in the first place a sure reality. In the second place, a solemn reminder. And in the third place, a sanctifying joy and comfort. Three main thoughts for this evening, based on Psalm 139. God's presence is a sure reality, a solemn reminder, and in the third place, a sanctifying joy and comfort. Congregation, I do not ask that you remember, but in the summer of 2015, I preached here also, and considered with you Psalm 102 about God's unchangeableness, another of God's attributes, the immutability of God, this unspeakable comfort in Christ amidst the changes in this world, in our society, in our lives, the shadows of life, the days, not years of our life, the fleeting away of our life, to have this anchor by grace. But thou art the same. To have this gospel proclaimed of free and undeserved grace for a people seeing the brevity of life, but whose hope is in the unchangeable, immutable God. To have this founded and firm hope, because that is their only hope amidst all the changes in life. To have this comfort, what the psalm missed. Says in 102, thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion, for the time to favor her, yet the set time is come, and that time has come in Christ. To have rest in your life, this enduring rest by grace, but thou, O Lord, shall endure forever. Divine immutability, a doctrine, a teaching of comfort, of consolation in Christ. The Lord teaches you, for I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons, your daughters of Jacob, are not consumed. But also a warning, when outside Christ, no hope, no rest. A doctrine with a reality, with practical implications for how we ought to live. And so it is tonight, when we consider this evening another of God's attributes, the presence of the Lord. And as I said in the first place, a sure reality. The Lord is everywhere presence. The psalmist attests to that the Lord is everywhere present because He is an all-knowing God. The first six verses, that speaks of God omniscience. Thou knowest my downsitting, my uprising, my thoughts, my path, my laying down. Thou art acquainted with all my ways. Thou knowest it all together. The Lord knows everything. Knows you. Knows your thoughts. Knows your ways in life. He is fully acquainted with it. It is as David says, from the outside that I am at home or travel or awake or sleep. Or from the inside, my thoughts, my behavior, Lord, thou knowest it all together. The past, the present, the future are known to him. Is that a comfort for you? Is that a comfort for you? Or do you want to escape from it? Don't want to think about that. Don't live with such reality of God's all-knowing knowledge, the all-knowing God who is everywhere present and surrounds us and knows us. And knows us better than we know ourselves. But the psalmist speaks also that the Lord is present everywhere because he is the all-powerful God. His omnipotence. The verses 13 to 18 what we have read. For thou didst form my inward part, thou didst cover me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks unto thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are thy works, and my soul knows right well. My frame was not hidden from thee when I was made in secret. That the psalmist says, how great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. This is the psalmist said, one of the most powerful displays of God's omnipotence. His all-powerfulness happens in secret. When David contemplates his own creation and development as a pre-born child, he acknowledges that God formed him and reflected that his maker knitted him together. How amazing the all-powerful is. Modern technology, as amazing as it is, has yet to create a complete transparent womb. And mothers know this. We get sometimes a few glimpses through sonograms and multidimensional ultrasounds. But for the most part, the remarkable development of an unborn child is unseen, except by God. And the psalmist attests in wonder, body and soul, my whole life, and in thy book, they were all written. Which you also can translate, meaning my whole life is ordained for me by the Lord. The realization, my life is in God's plan. And I am on earth here for a reason. But also he is in control. Yes, even at times when I don't see it. When I worry. When I may be anxious about the future. But from the moment of birth to the moment of dying, that the Lord is in control. And therefore the churches for ages have always maintained to be against abortion and euthanasia. The beginning and the end is in God's hand, and all in between. It is this all-powerful God who sustains and upholds. An unavoidable fact, God is everywhere present. Because of his knowledge and because of his power. Inescapable in the fact, sure fact that the Lord surrounds you with his presence. As David attests, particularly in the verse 7 to 12, where the psalmist questions, whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? Where shall I go? Where shall I flee? Because he can't escape God's presence. He is everywhere present. Fleeing from his presence. In the Hebrew there is something fleeing from his face. It is impossible to be out of the Lord's sight, out of God's presence. Where the psalmist raises the possibilities, if four times, if I ascend into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. Verse 9, if I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost part of the sea, even there thy hand shall lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. His presence is there. If I say, verse 11, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be the light about me. Yea, the darkness hides not from thee, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. Just as the psalmist says, he looks to different options. If in the height, ascend to heaven, in the depth, make my bed in hell, Sheol, the grave. From east to west, take the wings in the morning, the sun rises in the east, and dwell to the uttermost parts of the sea. The sea was the west side of Canaan. But with all those ifs, he concludes, thou art there. The Lord is present everywhere, on high, in the depth, from east to west. I can flee out of his sight, out of his presence, wherever I go. God is there. Because he is everywhere present. He surrounds us, this all-knowing God, this all-powerful God, everywhere present God in your and my life. And again the question, is that now a reality in your life? Not only learned in catechism class or Sunday school, not only confessed as a biblical doctrine, but an experiential reality. Each morning when you awake, each day that is given to you, this living reality, the Lord is there, a real and sure presence in my life. In the second place, a solemn reminder. Because, congregation, this inescapable and sure reality that the Lord is everywhere present, when we realize in all that we say and do, and in all what we not say and not do, when we realize what the psalmist writes in verse 5, thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Congregation, by nature we don't like that. We want to be so-called free. We think that we can go through life without the Lord. Oh yes, in times of need, in times of testing and trials. Oh yes, maybe then we need the Lord, then you cannot be without him. But by nature we are so inclined to disobey the Lord. Don't listen to him. But just the thought that in all that we say, every word, verse 4, but there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest. That in all what we do, and maybe even people around us don't know what we do, our secret life, maybe behind a computer or iPad or your phone. But the Lord knows. Just the thought in all your ways in life, at home, at work, travel to places, but the Lord is there, present. Wherever I am, wherever I go, he is there. Does that frightens you? Or does that give you to pause for a moment? Or do you want to flee from it? From him? Maybe outwardly. You sit here in church. Maybe you read your Bible. You say your prayer. But inwardly, no need of him. Not agreeing with his word and ways in your life. Whither shall I flee from thy presence? It's the same word. The same words were used in the book of Jonah. Jonah the prophet called to preach in Nineveh. And Jonah fled from the presence of the Lord. That it is possible to try to live out of the presence of the Lord. To live a life we choose what deems good to us instead of what pleases the Lord. Kind of self-determination instead of seeking the Lord's and the Lord's way and will. The desire to be so-called free. And yet, maybe the cry of your heart that you need guidance in your life. And that you need to be upheld in your life. And that you long for what the psalmist says, in all his ways and wanderings, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. This cry in your life, the need for his leading, the need for his upholding, so needful. Yeah, maybe sometimes you resist his leading and holding. Certainly by nature, no need for his leading. But while he offers peace and pardon and reaches out his hand, his caring hand, his providing hand, his guiding hand. One last point, our sin and doing sin. And then we read here in Scripture, O Lord, thou knowest it all together. Wherever I go, thou art there. Yes, also when you sin. Our sin in thought, in word, in deed. Do I have to elaborate? The Lord knows. And you know, and God's people know. We confess it, congregation. Kenneth of Dort, although the power of God whereby he confirms and preserves true believers in grace is so great that it cannot be conquered by the flesh, yet the converted are not always so led and moved by God that they cannot in certain particular actions turn aside through their own fault from the guidance of grace and be seduced by and yield to the lust of the flesh. They must. So we confess. They must therefore constantly watch and pray that they may not be led into temptation. And when they do not watch and pray, they not only can be drawn away by the flesh, the world and Satan into serious and atrocious sin, but with the righteous permission of God are sometimes actually drawn away. The lamentable fall of David, Peter and other saints described in the Holy Scripture demonstrate this. Congregation, what does sin do? Kenneth of Dort, by such gross sin, however, they greatly offend God, incur the guilt of death, grieve the Holy Spirit, suspend the exercise of faith, severely wound their conscience, and sometimes, for a while, lose the sense of God's favor. Until. That is also what we confess. Until. They return to the right way through sincere repentance and God's fatherly face again shines upon them. The Lord's presence everywhere in your and my life. What a warning. Watch and pray. Search me. Do you begin to understand the psalmist? Search me, O God. And know my heart. Try me, test me, and know my thoughts. And then the Lord says this gospel message, as I live, says the Lord God, this all-knowing, this ever-present Jehovah, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, of that sinner, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil way, for why will ye die, O house of Israel? What? Why? Why do you want to live outside his presence, his gracious presence, his caring presence, his merciful presence, forgiving presence? Our third and last point is sanctifying joy and comfort. Because, congregation, when we read this psalm, we may ask, when David considered the omniscience of God, that God knows his whole life, wherever he goes and wherever he is and what he does and what he says, and yet we hear David say, in awe and wonder, such knowledge is too wonderful for me, it is high, I cannot attain to it. When the Lord sees the omnipotence of God, this all-powerful God who has formed him, sustains and upholds him, we hear the psalmist say and sing in praise, how precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. And why can the psalmist, why can David speak of that everywhere presence of the Lord that is to him, yea, the darkness hide not from thee. The darkness and the light are both like unto thee. Light breaks through the darkness. Why can the psalmist sing this and stand in awe and wonder that the Lord is everywhere present and a comfort for him? There's only one thing, congregation, that is only and alone because of Christ. Christ who has cried out on the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from me, from helping me? Experienced not the nearness and presence of his Father, but a far off, a distance that cannot be bridged. Why did he cry that out? Why did he cry out this to his Father? Congregate, what his people deserved rightly because of their sin. When Christ took the wrath of God in the darkest hour, but there was no light, forsaken, so that sinners might experience his presence forever. Oh, take on refuge in Christ, who has promised so well meant, so gracious, so graciously, even to a few followers of it, some doubted, even maybe here this evening, but he promised, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the earth. With you. Do you see the wonder of grace? Always, wherever you live, wherever you go. Not an encouragement, not a comfort, so that you may say by grace, as for me, I will behold thy face, O Lord, in righteousness. I will be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. Satisfied, rest, peace, because you are in his presence. Experience his presence through his word, through the sacraments, through his providence. As for me, what Christ has done. So that by grace that you can agree with Bonar, who said, not what I feel or do can give me peace with God. Not all my prayers and sighs and tears can bear my awful load. Thy work alone, O Christ, thy presence can ease this weight of sin. Thy blood alone, O Lamb of God, can give me peace within. And therefore what he has done, and so the psalmist in 27 can pray and calls out to be in his presence, thy face, Lord, I will seek. To be in his presence now and forever. Because congregation, when you do not want to live in the presence of this willing Savior, no need of him. One day, you will cry out, but in agony when you see his face. You will say to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide from the face of him that sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. But also what a comfort that this doctrine, this teaching of the Lord's presence, his omnipresence offers those he called to himself, have taken refuge in Christ and him alone. Consolation and comfort, whatever situation and maybe difficulty you are in, this knowledge, this experience, the Lord is with you, he is present. In all your cares and concerns, maybe you have brought it this night here in church, to know that he is near, so you can cast all those cares on him. Maybe in the storms of life, but with Jesus on board, he is near. In times of spiritual darkness, he, who is the light of the world, is near. In prayer, he is present to hear your prayer, even those silent petitions and cries, heard by him because he is near and present. Edwards reminded his congregation, and I remind you too, he said, Edwards says, oh, converse often with the Lord in prayer, so that you often may experience his comforting presence. Loss of loved ones, he is near. You cannot be bereaved of that friend, Christ, who is more than all. Maybe you have challenges in business or in school or college or at home, in need of direction in your life. Consider this everywhere present God of which the psalmist testified, thy hand leads me, and thy right hand shall hold me. And when death comes, he is there. Nothing shall separate from the love of Christ. Consider, when you have by grace experienced his presence and nearness on earth, are there not times in your life that you long for his presence, to be in his presence forever? This the summer of 2017 here in Grand Rapids and not in 1727 in Northampton, Connecticut. And yet, if it be so that God is present everywhere, let us, parents with your children and grandchildren, let us be exhorted to walk with God, to keep close to him and not depart from him. The example that the Lord gives in His word with Enoch, and he walked with God. Let us endeavor to know God and get acquainted and more acquainted with Him. Let us seek after a spiritual union with God, reconciliation to Him and His friendship and favor, that we may walk with Him as a friend, with a friend. Let us continually seek His gracious presence, that He may not only be essentially present with us, but present by a holy, sweet indwelling of His Spirit, so Edwards preached once, and that in all our business, in all our daily life, let us go to the Lord and consult with Him, and make known our case before Him, and commit our way to Him, that He may direct our steps. And at last, let us always live as in the sight of God, shunning all evil and seeking and pursuing all good, conforming ourselves to the image of God, so that after we have walked with God here, that the Lord may take us, as He did with Enoch, to dwell with Him forever in His glorious presence, and that for Christ and Christ's sake alone. Amen. Congregation, let us sing of Psalter 383, the stanzas 3 and 5. Thy thoughts, O God, how manifold, more precious unto me than gold. I muse on their infinity, a walking I am still with thee. And the fifth stanza, search me, O God, my heart discern. Try me, my inmost thought to learn, and lead me, if in sin I stray, to choose the everlasting way. Psalter 383, the stanzas 3 and 5. For thy word this evening, but also this new week that lies before us, that we may have this realization that thou art present in our life. We'll bless thy word, that it might bring forth fruit in our life, to have a close life to Thee in Thy presence. Lord, be with us also this week. Help us in our labors. Bless our labors of our hand. Be near unto us. Forgive our sins also this night in speaking and in listening. We ask these things for Christ's sake alone. Amen.